Good morning, everybody. Call the meeting to order and welcome all the folks who have are joining us this morning. We appreciate your coming. We have approval of the minutes of February 18. Representative Long, would you move those minutes?
So moved.
The minutes of February 18 have been moved by Representative Long. All those in favor of adopting the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Minutes are adopted. Representative Bacon. Before she introduces her bill, I want to just tell folks a little bit about the process for this bill. Because it has so many parts, it has so many pieces of investment in it. You will see individual bills being introduced for each of the segments of the investment. Those individual bills will go to the appropriate committees, one on school buses, electric school buses, which Representative Stevenson will be carrying. Will go to the Committee on Education Finance and then come back here. So this bill today will be laid over. We will take it up later after all the other bills have been processed and are ready. So that's our basic. There are several ways I could handle this, but right now that's what we're thinking of and just wanted to share that with you. So again, this bill will be laid over, but we will be bringing it up at a date when we will post that early, so you will have ample notice, and that will be a time when we will amend things into the bill. So with that, welcome, Representative Akam, and if you would tell us about your bill, and I believe you have an amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you, and members. Should I move the amendment first?
Move the bill, if
Brief
you would.
The bill first. Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me here, and thank you all for being here this morning. So we're here today to talk about House File 3436, and this session and last session, we heard from experts about our rapidly changing climate. We've seen from data from the MPCA about greenhouse gas emissions by sector, and we heard over and over again from Minnesotans that they want to be part of the much-needed solutions to our climate crisis. This bill was written with that in mind. This bill was written to give all Minnesotans across the state opportunities to be part of the solution. And so we'll take maybe just a minute and go through the different sections of the bill. Starting with Section 1, it establishes a grant program in the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to encourage composting. Section 2 establishes a revolving loan fund in the Department of Commerce to make zero-interest loans to school districts to implement energy conservation measures. Section 3 establishes a grant program in the Department of Commerce to award grants to stimulate the installation of solar energy systems in schools. Section 4 establishes a program in the Department of Commerce to award rebates for the purchase of electric vehicles. Section 5 establishes a grant program in the Department of Commerce to award grants for solar systems on residential buildings. Section 6 establishes a program in the Department of Commerce to award homeowners who install energy conservation improvements. Section 7 establishes a program in the Department of Commerce to award grants to owners of commercial buildings, including multifamily buildings who install energy conservation improvements. Section 8 establishes a program in the Department of Commerce to award grants to owners of nursing homes who install energy conservation improvements. Section 9 establishes a program in PCA to award grants to cities to develop and implement plans to mitigate climate change. Section 10 establishes a program in the Department of Commerce to award grants to cities, or excuse me, munis and co-ops for wind, solar, or storage, and or storage. Section 11 establishes a program in the Department of Education to award grants to school districts to stimulate the purchase of electric school buses. Section 12 establishes a program in the Department of Transportation to award grants to transit providers to stimulate the purchase of electric transit buses. Section 13 talks about the appropriations to the Department of Commerce. Section 14 talks about the appropriations to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Section 15 is the appropriation to the Department of Education. Section 17, the appropriation to the Department of Transportation. Section 17 appropriates money to the Board of Water and Soil Resources for payments to enrollees in Conservation Reserve Program. And finally, Section 18 appropriates $1 million to the University of Minnesota Board of Regents for a study to look at carbon sequestration over land use, public and private. And so as you can tell from going through the summary on the bills, there's a lot of partnerships that will be happening with local governments, with schools, with communities. And so then in, again, back to process, should we have testimony from speakers or do we want to talk about amendments?
I think what we will do now is if you would formally move the bill, we'll take your amendment because it's just a frankly, a technical one, and then we would like to hear from your speakers. And then, members, we will hear from the audience. There are 17 folks who signed up to testify. I would ask people to speak no more than 2 minutes less, if you can, because we have to get through this bill and any amendments, any other amendments today, and we're going to stay here till we do it. So if you would formally move the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 3436 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Representative Akam has moved the bill, and she has an author's amendment to get it in the shape that she would like it. Would you like to move that amendment? That is A1.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I would move A1. It's just a very basic it's taking out and interest in a line that it shouldn't have been there. It was a typo. So just very simple.
Okay. All those in favor of Representative Swazinski?
Oh, I thought you. Yeah, we can vote, and then I got a question just in general. So.
All those in favor of the A1 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. You do have testifiers, and if.
Did you want to
ask a question now?
Well, certainly, Madam Chair. Just a general question before we move forward. So, you know, obviously this bill has a fairly large fiscal note. Is this the budget target that you've been given from leadership? Is this what we're to expect as far as future negotiations and that? Or kind of what are we dealing with here?
We do not have the February forecast yet, so we do not have a target. No one has a target, so we will wait till the target has been
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Done. So with that, we would like to hear from your testifiers.
Great. I'd like to first introduce Marco Hernandez with COPAL.
All right. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee, audience members, and people watching at home. My name is Marco Hernandez. And I'm the environmental justice organizer for COPAL, Comunidades Organizando el Poder y Acción Latina, or Communities Organizing for Latino Power and Action. As a community organizer, I hear and speak with everyday average Minnesotans from all walks of life, especially from frontline BIPOC communities and Minnesota high schoolers with the climate strike. Every community may have their own unique issues they have to worry about. But the one crisis that connects us all is the climate crisis in which we're all facing together. We are nearing the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, but we are not even close to environmental justice at all. It is time that the state starts to actively invest in climate solutions. Each day passes on without a solution to the crisis, but we continue as business as usual. As we go on, more black and brown families in the metro develop asthma through trash incinerators and increasing air pollution. Our farmers will continue to have bad harvests due to increasing rain and the changes in the weather patterns. With more rain and hotter weather, that means more mosquitoes will spawn and spread more diseases. Now, I do not want to continue down this road, and the communities I work with agree with me on this. With further investments, we want to urge the state to invest in public and school buses that are 100% electric. Also, investing in more buses that go to communities of color as well. Addressing the state's water quality issue, especially in poor communities of color. Putting solar panels on schools and making solar panels more affordable for homeowners. Making commercial buildings more efficient and definitely improving how Minnesotans deal with waste. Now, I really want to thank Representative Ackam for her work on doing this bill, especially for those legislators on the Minnesota Climate Caucus action team. And so, but I will still be working with Representative Ackam to address the environmental justice in this bill and the racial justice as well. And so, to end it off, part of the money should also go into improving outreach on these different programs by actively having the state inform our Latino, Hmong, and East African Minnesotans of the potential new changes to come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Mayor Brad Wiersum, who is mayor in Minnetonka, my hometown, and he's also president of Minnesota League of Cities this year. Mayor Wiersum?
Well, actually, welcome. Next year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Technical.
Thank you, Representative Ackam. Greetings, Madam Chair and representatives. Thank you for having me here today. It's an honor to be here. And again, my name is Brad Wiersum. I am the mayor of the city of Minnetonka. I support this legislation. I believe it's important. And I am particularly strongly supportive of the City Climate Action Grant Program. The city of Minnetonka has been a leader in supporting environmental stewardship and sustainability initiatives. Our climate action is a vital part of sustainability work within the city of Minnetonka. Among the things that our city has done, we've converted all city-purchased electric energy to solar sources that will be effective in 2020. We are participants in the Xcel Energy Partners in Energy program, which enhances efforts to use energy wisely and efficiently throughout the city. We are a Green Steps Level 4 city and are working on Level 5. We have an annual reduced cost city tree sale program to encourage tree planting and biodiversity of our urban forest. We've sold our residents over 16,000 trees since 2007. We are a Tree City USA city. We also have a tree ordinance designed to protect the urban forest in Minnetonka. We have a natural resources department to combat invasive species and encourage best sustainability practices throughout the city on both public and private land. We have availability of an organics recycling program for our residents. We are a home energy squad participant. We have a pollinator ordinance, and the city has signed on to the Mayor's Monarch Pledge. But we know that there is more to do. Minnetonka has not yet completed a climate action plan. I anticipate that we will in the fairly near future. But the availability of a city climate action grant would certainly be a welcome resource. It would likely broaden support for development of a climate action plan across the city of Minnetonka. A climate action plan will enable our city to establish specific goals and benchmarks to better manage expectations and to prepare for and reasonably budget for new climate and sustainability actions and investments. In my years as a council member and as mayor, there are no issues that have captured the interest and passion of young people in our region as has the issue of climate action. If we are serious as leaders of our communities and our state, we need to be committed to leaving our world and the environment in better condition than it was when we first entered it. Today's young people believe that we are failing in that quest. I think we owe it to them to do more. The proposed legislation will help move us toward that important goal. While cities alone cannot solve the climate crisis, cities have a vital role to play, and we must lead and provide an example to other entities, both public and private. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor Wirstrom. And next we have Denise Diedrich with the Minnesota School Board Association.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was sitting pretty low there, and members of the committee. My name is Denise Diedrich, and I am here on behalf of the Minnesota School Boards Association. MSBA is a statewide organization who is actually celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. And this little-known fact is relevant to Representative Acorn's bill, since we at MSBA, we want to be promoting and supporting policies that benefit and prepare our schools, not just for the past 100 years, for the future in the next 100 years. And we think that this bill helps us get there. So first, I would like to specifically address section number 3 on the Solar on Schools grant program in House File 3436. Utility bills are a major expenditure in our school districts, right behind salaries for teachers and other staff. If schools can save money on energy costs, that means districts can redirect that revenue back into the classroom or become less reliant on local property taxes to fund education and improve academic performance for our students. There is a requirement in the bill that the most cost-effective projects would be prioritized, and that half the revenue would go to districts where there are low-income students, the majority of low-income students, and we appreciate that because we feel like that ensures that the funds will be directed to the districts in the communities that have the most need. School districts that participate in this Solar on Schools grant program will create on hands-on educational opportunities for students in the area of science, technology, business, engineering, and math. A program such as this can provide students with relevant learning experiences that role models how our next generation can participate in the clean energy economy, and hopefully, ultimately, expose them and inspire them to be open to good-paying career opportunities such as solar installers for today and in the future. So if this bill can help reduce energy costs and provide learning opportunities for students and become a seamless process for our school districts, we are in support and would like to participate. And just so you know, for the reasons that I just outlined, we also do support Section 2, 11, and 12 of the bill. And in closure, I would just like to mention to you that MSBA school board members have passed resolutions in previous years urging the legislature to expand the use of renewable energy and provide the resources for them to do so. And I can give you more information about that if you would like. And so I just want to close though saying, like every other good bill, there are lots of questions, and I won't go through those today, but I would be happy to stand for questions.
I don't see any questions, so I think we will proceed with public testifiers. And
I appreciate it.
For public testifiers, I will announce one and then ask the next person to come up right away. So we will start with Zoe Pettit, U of M student, and Benjamin Stafford will be the next.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. If you would state your name for the record.
My name is Zoe Pettit, and thank you for having me here today. I'm a current conservation biology major at the University of Minnesota. I'm only 20 years old, and I'm here because I'm terrified for what our future holds. I'm terrified by the reports from scientists who predict that we have less than 10 years to radically change our energy system. And honestly, I'm terrified by the inaction of our government. But all that being said, I'm hopeful because with initiatives like the ones being discussed here today, I believe we can turn the ship around and change together. Every person should feel empowered to fight against climate change, and every person should have the resources realistically available to them to do so. Renewable energy sources like wind and solar should be the new normal if we want to have any hope for our future. If we electrify our systems and allow renewable energy to power businesses, homes, and transits, we can be the driving force of change here in Minnesota. I support this bill because not only will allocating funds to energy efficiency grants amongst schools, businesses, and homes benefit our earth, but it will aid Minnesotans, young and old, in knowing that they can and must be a part of our solution in the way they live their daily lives. Solar panels on schools will be able to be used as educational tools to spark the continued discussion we must keep having on human causes of climate change. If we create the demand for renewable resources, they will not only become the best for our earth and for all those who live on it, but they'll become the best for our economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Benjamin Stafford, and then next, Anna Grace Hottinger.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Benjamin Stafford. I'm the Director of Policy and Public Affairs for Clean Energy Economy Minnesota. I think many of you are familiar with us. We are an industry-led nonprofit organization that is focused on growing the clean energy business ecosystem in our state. Our members are comprised of over 40 clean energy companies, and those range from the small startups to the Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies that have clean energy investments in our state. Simply put, we are the business voice of clean energy in Minnesota. We are here to testify in support of House Files 3436 and supporting strengthening our state's clean energy businesses through policy leadership on climate action. We'd like to thank Representative Akam for bringing this bill forward and for the work that has been put into this proposal by the chair, by members of this committee, and by members of the Minnesota Climate Action House Climate Action Caucus. This bill supports investments in a broad range of technologies and investments that transition us towards a clean, affordable, and reliable energy system while unleashing economic opportunities across our state. In terms of economic impacts, I'll be very brief here, but you've heard me say this before. Minnesota is home to over 61,000 clean energy jobs and growing. Energy efficiency is the largest sector for clean energy workers in our state and continues to be. The investments in efficiency contemplated in this bill for residential homes, commercial buildings, public schools, nursing homes, et cetera, spur economic activity while saving consumers energy and money. Solar technology advances paired with rapidly declining costs are making solar an attractive investment across our state. Investments in solar on schools and rebates for residential homeowners show commitment to continue these trends here in Minnesota. Thoughtful investment in transportation infrastructure for electric vehicles, be that school buses, public transit, or for individual purposes of electric vehicles, that embraces a future where we have an increasingly electrified transportation sector. These investments will bring a greater variety of vehicle options to the Minnesota market, will also help us get back on track to achieve our state's greenhouse gas emissions reductions goals that were passed in a bipartisan effort in 2007. Policy leadership creates certainty and opens the marketplace for clean energy solutions in our state. This bill complements a history of strong clean energy policies from the legislature, and Minnesota can and will continue to attract jobs and investment while addressing climate risks. Accelerating our transition to a clean, affordable, and reliable energy system will provide Minnesota with a competitive advantage, create jobs, and spur additional economic opportunities and benefits for all Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna Grace Hottinger, and then next online is Satish Desney.
Good morning, Chair Muginius and members of the committee. My name is Anna Grace Hottinger, and I'm 16 years old from Shoreview. I'm a member of the 100% steering committee and also an overall young person. Over the last year, I've been one of the thousands of students who have been organizing and advocating for bold climate solutions in Minnesota, and I identify all of the problems that they see. As a student, and of course, simply a high schooler, I'm scared for my future, the importance of protecting future generations, and quite frankly, the current generation and groups of people is one of the most important things that we can be doing. I stand with the support of House File 3436 because it breaks down some of the barriers that divide people from being able to be a part of climate action. Not everyone can do all the things that would make a difference and protect communities around them. Not everyone can drive an electric vehicle or have access to a composting program at their apartment. This bill will give Minnesotans more ways to be a part of the solution, and most importantly, give us more ways to be together as a whole state. The questionable future and unknown everything of the climate crisis is actively impacting marginalized communities and young communities as we speak. For example, the health effects of the climate crisis, whether it be physical, mental, or emotional, is catastrophic. So the question isn't how much will it cost? The real question is what are the costs of doing nothing? How much more will it cost if we don't act together? I support House File 3436 because I see it provides concrete change, more equity for Minnesotans, and more hope for people around the state. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Satish Desnia and then J. Drake Hamilton.
Good morning, Madam Speaker, members of the committee. My name is Satish Desai. I live in South Minneapolis, and I'm also a volunteer with the Sierra Club. I'm here to express my support for the House File 3436, and thank you for bringing it forward. It's an important step in fighting the climate crisis. For me, this is really about my nephews. My sister has a 2.5-year-old son, cute as can be. He lives in Annapolis. And my sister-in-law, or sister-in-law-to-be, we just got engaged. I just got engaged over the holidays. She and her family lives in Australia. And thank God they've been able to escape the wildfires there safely. But they are really, they're firsthand witnesses to the impacts of climate change today. And I am really terrified for the world that they are going to live in as they grow up, as they go to college, as they get married, and as they have kids of their own. And we really need to start taking action now. This is all not that far off. And so we know that we need to have climate emissions or carbon emissions but within a decade and eliminate them entirely by the middle of the century. This bill is a good multi-sector approach to that, and it's going to reduce emissions coming not just from electricity generation, but from heating and transportation and land use as well. So I want to thank you for introducing this bill, and I want to thank you for your leadership in introducing the 100% clean electricity standard last year. And I'm looking forward to seeing this bill to become law and looking forward to more action in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. J. Drake Hamilton and then Eric Pasty.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is J. Drake Hamilton. I'll be testifying this morning on behalf of Fresh Energy. Fresh Energy is a nonpartisan organization with almost 28 years of experience developing practical, clean energy and climate policy that benefits all Minnesotans. I serve as Fresh Energy's Science Policy Director. Fresh Energy supports House File 3436. It is a package of new investments that will enable people across Minnesota to participate directly in solutions that address the climate change crisis. This is a can-do bill. It's focused on the public support evident across Minnesota for bold climate action that benefits all Minnesotans. A very large number of families and individuals in our state feel the urgency right now to take effective climate action. We know we need to do whatever we can do. We need to follow the science, and that shows that Minnesota is not on track to meet our goals. The supplemental budget proposal is a positive step. It is modest compared to our need, but it is something the state of Minnesota can do now. We will also be working on larger goals related to energy and greenhouse gas reduction. Fresh Energy went out across the state of Minnesota more than 100 times to public meetings in the past 12 months. We were listening to what Minnesotans identify as the urgent needs to address climate change. We heard about needs in virtually every sector of our economy, with special attention on the aspects of climate change that are being very acutely recognized across our state, making our transition to a clean energy economy becomes faster. Minnesotans are learning that the transportation sector is the topmost source of emissions causing climate change, and those Minnesotans are focusing that our state have consumer choices for zero carbon and low emissions vehicles to see and consider driving right in Minnesota. The 2007 Bipartisan Next Generation Energy Act codifies the state's economy-wide goal to be at least 80% reduction in emissions by 2050. We need bold climate action to meet our responsibility. House File 3436 focuses on multiple benefits that we can achieve through the climate action that Minnesotans are expecting to become our new normal. We can design climate solutions that improves the lives of people in so many ways while simultaneously driving down those emissions. Thank you, Representative Acom and your colleagues. I thank the committee for the opportunity to support this legislation.
Eric Passy and then Brandon Solem.
Good morning, and thank you, Madam Chair and committee members, for hearing my testimony this morning. I am Eric Passy. I'm the Chief Development Officer at IPS Solar. We are a Roseville-based solar contractor and development company, and recently recognized in 2018 as the fastest-growing company in the state of Minnesota. I'm here to testify in support of House File 3436. As part of our business, we've helped over 12 districts in the state, including Red Wing School District, Chisago Lake School District, and St. Cloud School District, achieve and implement significant solar programs. Our internal analysis of the bill is that by leveraging private capital, the $16 million allocation can create more than $30 million in savings for districts across the state. And that money can go to offset property taxes, local property taxes, or to be reinvested in school budgets. STEM learning is also an important part of this bill and of this opportunity. And IPS conducts, as part of our offering, educator workshops where we bring in teachers from districts to help them understand how to interpret the data from these projects and how to provide hands-on learning activities for students. And last but not least, the Section 3 of this bill will create jobs and good paying union jobs that can't be outsourced. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your support.
Brandon Solem, and next on the, would be Kathleen Schuler.
Madam Chair, representatives, good morning. My name is Braden Solem, and I'm a partner at Ideal Energies. We're a commercial solar development company based here in Minneapolis. We develop projects for both the public and private sector across the state for Minnesota customers. I'm here today to voice my support for House File 3436, and specifically the solar on schools portion of the bill, as it will help open up opportunities for schools across the state to save taxpayer dollars spent on energy by providing their own energy on site with solar. Our company works closely with the public sector, as almost half our business is done with schools, counties, and cities. To date, we've completed projects for 27 public school districts, charter schools, and private schools spread across approximately 100 school buildings so far. All but two of these buildings, though, are located in Xcel Energy territory. And the reason why so many schools in Xcel territory have been able to capture the financial and educational benefits of Ideal Solar Program is because of the incentive programs like the very successful Solar Awards Program. Unfortunately, this program is limited to Xcel customers only. The reason I'm here today to testify in support of this bill is that the Solar on Schools portion of House File 3436 opens up the opportunity for the rest of the state to participate in the benefits of solar as well. Schools within Xcel territory are able to install solar arrays without putting up any capital and can start saving money immediately to reduce their expenses. Schools outside of Xcel, however, do not have this opportunity. Without an incentive like the Solar Awards Program, it is hard for companies like ours to deliver projects that allow these schools to receive the same benefits as Xcel customers. This bill solves that problem. To give you an idea how much money schools will really save using this program, I'll use a single school building with a 40-kilowatt AC array utilizing the Solar Awards and our financing as an example. At 25 years, which is the industry standard for solar panel warranties, a school saves over $100,000, a single school building. That's more money for teachers, books, programs, and less taxpayer dollars being spent. With the amount appropriated in this bill, spread across potentially hundreds of school buildings, you can see that the amount of money that the state and schools can save with this investment is extraordinary. In addition to saving money for schools, it also provides the benefit of demand for jobs statewide. Like many installers at Ideal Energies, we use Minnesota labor, and we've had a standing job request out on sites like Indeed like that for the past 3 years. We can't hire people fast enough, but I'll kind of wrap it up here. But again, in summary, House File 3436 is clearly an investment in the state and environment that will net significant returns for all of Minnesota. We at Ideal Energies are in full support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen Schuler, and then next to Elizabeth Turner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kathleen Schuler, and I'm with Health Professionals for Healthy Climate. We are a multidisciplinary network of 500 health professionals across the state of Minnesota. And we acknowledge that we are facing a climate emergency that puts our health at risk. We support HF 3436, which provides funding for a variety of clean energy initiatives to address the challenge before us in mitigating the worst effects of climate change on our health. Now, we support the whole bill, but I especially wanted to note that we appreciate that the bill addresses disproportionate impacts of climate and air pollution on communities with higher percentages of lower-income people, people of color, and indigenous people. We support the policies which give preference to addressing these impacts in communities with higher air pollution and with a higher proportion of low-income families, as demonstrated by the need for reduced-priced lunches in schools. In particular, we support the bill's policy to give preference for financial assistance to disproportionately impacted communities for solar in schools, for electric school buses, and residential rebates for solar in environmental justice-identified neighborhoods. I also wanted to note that it's great to see the proposal for EV rebates for new and used vehicles, and that will complement Clean Cars Minnesota and the attempt to bring more EVs into the state. Thank you for proposing this type of bold action. We need to address the climate crisis and mitigate some of the impacts on our health. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Elizabeth Turner and then Steve Morse.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. My name is Elizabeth Turner. I am an architect, and I'm here today on behalf of the American Institute of Architects, AIA Minnesota. AIA Minnesota is the professional organization representing 2,300 architects across the state. We would like to thank Representative Acomb for bringing forward House File 3436 and express our support for this effort. Architects play a critical role in developing and maintaining the built environment, and we care deeply about building resilient communities and combating climate change. We know that sustainable and energy-efficient design has impacts beyond energy savings and climate change mitigation, including improvements to health and well-being for our citizens and resilience for communities. We appreciate this bill focus on realistic changes we can all make across multiple sectors. We work with clients every day who are already motivated to make decisions supporting energy efficiency. We know that additional energy efficiency support will help them to make those decisions and inspire others to choose conservation and efficiency, making a real impact. One clear example of proper planning saving energy. I am the passive house consultant for a team building a large affordable housing project in St. Paul, completing energy models to predict energy use and helping them to meet high efficiency targets. Recently, I presented five options for energy consumption reduction strategies on this development. They ended up choosing to implement four of those options, even though they only had to choose one or two, because they had access to information about the energy impact of their design decisions. Two of those options were actually less expensive, but the other two were deemed worth the slight increase in cost because of their impact on energy use. As architects, we know that energy efficiency is most cost-effective to achieve for new construction. So we would encourage you all to also consider opportunities for new construction in addition to the other excellent programs in this bill. In addition, we would ask you to consider expanding the definition of energy efficiency in the School Green Revolving Loan Fund to include architectural options that can make a significant impact, such as air sealing, window improvements, and insulation. Minnesota's architects stand ready to do our part and work with you to move forward on the critical issues of energy and climate policy. We offer assistance and support as you continue to work on this package, and it will take all of us working together to make real progress. We look forward to continued partnership. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Morris and then Sam Benson.
Sarah Wolf instead. Hello, I'm not Steve Morris. I am Sarah Wolf with the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. We're an association of about 70 organizations that work on environmental and conservation issues, and we want to stand strongly behind this bill for so many of the reasons that have already been mentioned. But we particularly want to highlight the way that doing these can-do actions have co-benefits for communities across the board, whether it's public health or saving money or other things. And we know that showing these actions work and have positive benefits for communities will mean that they're contagious. These climate actions will become contagious, and they will have ripple effects beyond just the projects that come from this bill. So thank you very much for introducing this and having this discussion, and we look forward to supporting it.
Thank you. Sam Benson and then Jamie Fitzke.
Hi, my name is Sam Benson, and I'm on staff at Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. We're a faith-based nonprofit that works with faith communities across the state to advocate for clean energy and climate solutions in local communities. We strongly support these funding proposals and believe that they mark an important step in the right direction towards action on climate change and investing in our local communities. We're especially excited about the funding dedicated to electric school buses. This past fall, my colleague Analia Schlager Dos Santos worked with groups of students from North Minneapolis who are passionate about reducing air pollution and finding climate solutions in their own community. They appeared in front of the Minneapolis School Board to ask for expanded funding for electric school buses in their school district. Unfortunately, at the time, not enough funding was available to make that a reality. Thus, we're excited about this bill expanding funding for electric school buses, especially in communities that are most affected by air pollution. Once again, I'd just like to reiterate our organization is excited about this proposal and strongly supports it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie Fitzke and then Chris Mosel.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Energy Committee. I'm Jamie Fitzke, Policy Manager at the Center for Energy and Environment. We're a 40-year-old nonprofit specializing in energy efficiency, research and development, programming, implementation, and policy. We're testifying in support of House File 3436. We applaud the committee in making this historic investment in clean energy and thank Representative Ackum and all the individual authors for creating multiple clean energy opportunities for Minnesotans. This bill not only provides financial savings for residents, businesses, schools, and nursing homes, but it will also improve the quality and comfort of workplaces, learning spaces, and homes. As these bills progress, we are interested in working with the authors to share ideas to leverage and expand funding impact, such as coordinating with utility conservation improvement programs and creating additional financing resource options. Among these could include establishing a 0% revolving loan for residential energy efficiency improvements, which could be paired with a loan loss reserve for high-risk residential loans, creating an opportunity to help many residents who may narrowly fall outside of the low-income assistance but are in the greatest need of energy efficiency improvements. Additionally, through this process, we would ask authors to consider conforming to existing statute definitions, particularly on energy conservation and energy conservation improvement. This is just to avoid any confusion or irregularities. We are really excited to see and greatly appreciate the energy efficiency considerations in this bill and others like House File 3432, which establishes a revolving energy efficiency loan for state buildings, authored by Representative Freeburg and joined by many committee members here. In closing, a collective thank you to all who have worked on this bill.
Thank you. Chris Mosel and then Kate Knuth.
Hello, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Chris Mosel. Here as a member of the Land Stewardship Project. We are a farm and rural organization working to transform the farm and food system to be regenerative and just. We have 45 households in our membership across the upper Midwest, and two-thirds of those are farmers and rural residents. I'm here to speak in support of House File 3436. I farm in Stearns County near the town of Holdingford, fifth generation family farm. I raise corn, soybeans, alfalfa, wheat, sweet sorghum, and field peas, in addition to rotationally grazing replacement heifers and finishing steers on grass and sorghum. I've already seen the impacts of climate change on my own farm. Unfortunately, it has not been a warmer, drier climate that I've experienced in recent years. It has been torrential rains and extreme weather events. It's now not uncommon to get a 4-inch rain in an hour, followed by a 2-inch rain a few hours later, and then an inch and a half overnight. Although I'm doing all I can to control erosion and adjust my cropping systems, the extreme weather I've already experienced is difficult to cope with. I'm pleased to see, we at LSP are all pleased to see, that the Conservation Reserve Program is funding for the Conservation Reserve Program is included in this bill. CRP is a phenomenally successful and widely loved program in rural areas. It is an easy way to deliver environmental benefits like carbon capture, improving water quality, providing hunting opportunities, and it transfers money to rural areas through rental payments. But we at LSP also want to keep farmers on the land and rural communities thriving. And that means you need to consider adding measures to promote climate change and conservation benefits on working lands. We've got two papers out there already. A lot of work went into those from our organization, so please do take a look. We have achieved the point in time where there's a unifying global consensus that climate change is already impacting the planet and accelerating even faster than the worst-case scenario projections. By implementing policies that promote carbon capture in our ag sector and adjust cropping systems on marginal lands so that we don't waste resources when we're already overproducing, we can make sure that we're well prepared for the changes ahead and that farmers and rural communities can benefit from incentives and regulations that are likely to be coming soon. Also, we have a moral imperative to do all we can for future generations and our vulnerable populations, such as farmers. So thank you very much for your time, and a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Kate Knuth, and then after that, Jean Comstock.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm Kate Knuth. I work as a climate policy advisor with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, and we bring legal and scientific perspective to major environmental issues. And I want to thank Representative Acomb for her leadership and the leadership of the Climate Action Caucus more broadly to bring forward House File 3436, which we see as a fantastic step in Minnesota's leadership on climate change. And I think two things that stand out to me about this bill and proposal are speed and scale, and from a scientific perspective, how fast we move and how big we move matter in the ways we address climate action. So getting money out to projects that will reduce emissions and improve our climate future quickly, which this bill does, I think is a really important part of House File 3436. And then scale. We have to do major things, frankly, that Minnesota hasn't really done before. And I think that's exciting to see House File 3436 reaching closer to the kind of scale we need, both looking across sectors of energy, waste, buildings, transportation, agriculture, and also looking at significant investments, getting closer to the scale we need. Having attended the Climate Action Caucus hearings over the last few months, it was clear to me that Minnesotans are already acting, and they want to do more. They're desperate to do more. They're looking for everything possible they can do about the climate crisis. City leaders, homeowners, renters, educators, young people, students, nursing home administrators, farmers, building owners, architects, faith leaders, all of these Minnesotans and more want to be climate leaders. And House File 3436 is a unique opportunity for partnering with these Minnesotans to take bold action and make a big down payment on Minnesota climate action that'll pay dividends in our shared climate future for years to come. And we at MCA look forward to being part of this essential work.
Thank you. Jean Comstock and then Reverend Lee Schaefer.
Good morning, Madam Chair and representatives. My name is Jean Comstock, and I'm from St. Paul. I'm a member of Minnesota 350 and a founding member of St. Paul 350. I'd like to quote from the St. Paul I Matter Youth Movement's resolution, their climate inheritance resolution. I've always been struck by this quote. The greatest burden resulting from an inadequate response to the climate crisis will be carried by the youngest generation. In fact, they are already carrying a burden. That of riding dirty diesel buses. Besides being exposed to particulates from the tailpipe outside the bus, passengers are also affected by emissions that collect inside the bus cabin for the entire ride, and sometimes even flood nearby school buildings if the buses are idling while waiting for students. I'm sure you remember coming out of school and seeing the buses, particularly in the winter, all lined up at the curb with the great billowing clouds of exhaust. This is an incredible opportunity to show students across Minnesota that their state is serious about improving the health of our planet and, in fact, the students' own health. These funds can and should be used to further the transition to clean energy, electric bus transportation in our schools. Making it easier to purchase electric buses and the necessary charging infrastructure to support them will measurably reduce greenhouse gases, improve the health of our young people who ride them almost daily, and save money in the long term. I strongly urge you to support this program to encourage electrification of school bus fleets throughout Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. Reverend Lee Schaefer and then Jose Alvia.
Good morning, Madam Chair and fellow committee members. I thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. I'm Lee Schaefer. I've been an Episcopal priest for 35 years. I'm pleased to be able to come and support House Bill 3436 because I've been desperate to hear something about how we as a community can address climate change. Back in the day when I was a kid, I remember the commercial, Don't Fool with Mother Nature. It seems to me we've been fooling with Mother Nature all too long and not doing enough to address the issues of fossil fuel use and how we can move from that to renewable energy. I'm thrilled as a member of a faith community to hear you looking at how we can become better stewards of the earth and how we as a community can address and care for the creation that God has given us. That is my perspective. I'm also pleased that you're willing to reach out to a broad community of folks, whether they're students who can experience the use of solar energy or electric school buses and see how they can be utilized and how these systems can work for the betterment of our communities and address in the long term the needs of how we can be not only better stewards of the earth, but how we can have a sustainable community. And I want to urge you to continue this work, that this is a great beginning, but I see it only as a beginning. We have so much more to do. But thank you for letting me speak to the bill. I strongly support it as a member of the Climate Reality Project that was sponsored by Al Gore, as a member, a volunteer for Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light. I see us as a community working toward a sustainable future. Again, thank you for this bill. Thank you for my opportunity to speak with you this morning. God bless you.
Thank you. Jose Alvia and then Priscilla Villawatt.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Josel Villar. I'm a lead organizer with Navigate Minnesota, a grassroots nonprofit organization, and I'm here today to support House File 3436. As an organizer who works on two issues, one being climate and the other one being education, I know very well the interconnectedness between both of them and how they're super important. For years, I have seen the degradation of our school systems, both inside and outside. I have seen how the environment in which our youth study, play, learn, and interact greatly shapes their future and their current present, how it impacts the grades and attendance, and how it impacts their well-being and health. Yet, so few times have I seen the connection to climate solutions. I believe that by adequately and holistically funding these solutions, such as electric school buses, solar on schools, and also community-based grants, then we can boldly lead as a state and invest in our future, a future that we can be proud of, a future that changes the trajectory in which we are heading, and a future that is livable, one in which our current generation does not have to face the brunt of our past and current decisions. So I urge you to support House File 3436 and continuously invest in our youth, invest in our community-based work and grants, and invest in our state. Thank you.
Thank you. Priscilla Villawatt, she is the last one that has signed up in advance to testify.
Hi, good morning. My name is Priscilla Villawatt, and I'm here representing Eureka Recycling, here to speak in favor of House File 3436. Eureka is a nonprofit social enterprise whose mission is to demonstrate that waste and all of the negative and human environmental impacts that come with it are completely preventable. I am born and raised in Texas and recently moved here about 6 months ago. I often get asked why I moved here, and the short answer is that my husband is from St. Paul, and the long answer is because of climate change. Living in Houston, Texas, where we were impacted by Hurricane Harvey, looking to the future, it's really hard to imagine living in a place like that long term. So the climate change impacts are happening now, and we need to act now to make sure that our future is livable. At Eureka, we believe that working towards zero waste is one of the most effective ways that we can stop climate change. This bill is vital in ensuring solutions to climate change are adequately funded at the local level. Section 1 of House File 3436 would provide grants to allow multi-family units access to composting. As someone who lives in an apartment building, I can tell you that composting would be greatly appreciated in my community. And most importantly, diverting that waste from an incinerator or a landfill is something that I really look forward to being able to do. This funding is necessary to pilot a composting project that would help understand the needs for a large-scale program. I also want to mention that Section 9 on the City Climate Action Grant Program would help address the reduction of carbon-emitting packaging like plastic, while reducing the need for more incineration of waste in vulnerable communities across the state. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Members, there are no more testifiers that have signed up. Representative Garofalo is the first one with a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, what's the motion before the committee today?
The motion before the committee is to lay this bill over, and perhaps you weren't here when I gave the process. There are multiple bills that are being introduced right now that address each of the sections of this bill. Those will go to the relevant committees and then come back here. There are several processes we can use, but right now that's what I'm expecting. Those bills will come back here, and we will amend Representative Bacom's bill at that time. We will publish the date for that as soon as we have determined it. It will be after the targets, but not the last day when we're Those are my parameters.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and you're correct. I was not here at the beginning of the meeting. So thank you for updating that for me. So the, for example, the appropriations to MPCA and the appropriations to MnDOT, those are going to be carried by?
Well, for example, and because people have mentioned the school buses, and I have that bill for funding school buses will be carried by Representative Stevenson, and that will go to Ed Finance and then come back here.
So the actual,
so Madam Chair, each one will do its normal process.
Okay, so Madam Chair, this committee will house the omnibus, will have the finance accounts from MnDOT and from MPCA in the bill?
Yes, but after it's traveled to the appropriate committees.
Okay. And do you have an estimate of when we're going to have targets?
No, that's not my.
Okay,
that's not my job here.
Okay, like a month, like will it be March, April? No, don't know. We don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Representative Swizinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know we had a list of testifiers, but I don't know if we opened it up to just anyone that was in the room that maybe didn't have a chance to.
I would be glad to open it up to anyone who did not sign up. Nobody has taken up the offer. Thank you for suggesting that. With that, is there additional discussion, or we have amendments? And we should take those amendments up if people are going to offer amendments at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to bring forward the A2 amendment.
All right.
As you all are aware, Becker is transitioning away from coal, and we are trying desperately to build out an industrial park and bring in a lovely company that's committed to being 100% renewable called Google. So I bring this forward to fund this project and get this ball rolling forward so Google doesn't decide to go somewhere else. And I would hope you would give it a yes vote so we can get this thing moving on.
Representative Akam.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. While I certainly appreciate the situation in Becker, the intent of this bill is not to focus on any one city. And it sounds more like this is around economic development. And I think that what we're looking at are can-do climate actions. And so while there are great things going on, and I think that's a worthy cause to be looking at. I don't think it goes in this bill that is looking at giving opportunities for all Minnesotans.
If I may.
Representative Mecklen.
Madam Chair. Somehow, help me understand, eliminating coal entirely seems like it does fit in this bill.
So Becker is eliminating coal, but this bill is about some economic development and building out a business park. And so I appreciate what they're doing, and I think it's an admirable thing on both counts, both in the economic development as well as getting rid of greenhouse gas emissions. I think this bill is intended to have opportunities for all Minnesotans to participate in reducing greenhouse gas emissions and reducing the impacts of climate change. And so worthy goal, I think not appropriate for this bill. I would urge a no vote.
I'd like to ask for a roll call.
There's a roll call has been requested. I see no further discussion. The clerk will take the roll. The chair asks for a no. The author asks for a no vote. The chair votes no.
Representative Long?
No.
Representative Swizinski? Representative Akam?
No.
Representative Baker?
Aye.
Representative Behrman?
No.
Representative Bowe?
Yes.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
No.
Representative Hornstein?
No.
Representative Jordan? Representative Mahoney? Representative Mekeland?
Yes.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Stevenson?
There are five yeas and eight nays. The amendment is not adopted. I have additional amendments in the packet. Are people going to author them?
Madam Chair, that would be my amendment, and I guess I want to thank the author for bringing the bill forward. I never expected to see such a large financial bill coming through so early, so I wanted to share with you an idea that we have heard last year. I was going to go into more detail today for really the sake of Representative Jordan. She's not here today, but I wanted to talk just for a second about this biomass plant that was shut down far too early, halfway through the life cycle of promises made by the state of Minnesota. And my idea was to try to actually recover some funds from the RDA account that would, it's the same account that Xcel Energy customers put into to find new and innovative ways to find great new resources of energy. And we couldn't get that through last year. This is another idea. If it can come out of general fund, that's a good idea. But if we're going to spend $130 million, if we don't have our targets yet, we're in the exploratory stage right here. So I guess I'm just asking the author to consider taking this along with this. Because of this trust factor we're going to have with private and public entities as we move forward with ideas on any project, whether it's solar on the schools, whether it's nursing homes. These are some good ideas you have here. I don't know how we're going to pay for them, and I don't know what it's really going to cost the ratepayers. But I will tell you that what we have to do is make right on wrongs that we did, because I have back in our district, we've got wood haulers and we have chemical companies that were created because of this 20-year plan, 20-year promise that never ended up to be that. So I'm asking you if you would take a friendly amendment to just take it along with you. I know the chances are slim to make it through the end, but if it does, this conversation is important to have for businesses considering going into agreements with the state of Minnesota, because this is an example of we didn't do it right, but if we make it right here, others will say, you know what, they stood up for that. So I'm asking, I'm not going to take a roll call, but I'm certainly hoping that you might consider this as a friendly to have this conversation as it goes along, Representative Akam. And again, thank you for bringing this bill.
Madam Chair and Representative, I certainly appreciate, again, the intent here, and I think that not having been here when these decisions were made, I think it's unfortunate, the situation that we have today. I think going back to the intent for this bill, it's really about opportunities for all Minnesotans. We have sections for local governments to participate in climate action planning. I don't think the scope of the bill, I don't think this bill, my bill, 3436, is the appropriate place for this kind of legislation. I appreciate the situation, and I empathize with the results and the where people are at today. Unfortunately, I don't think it's the right place, and I would urge members to vote no.
And Madam Chair, just a final comment. I understand that. I will continue to have this conversation through ideas as they come along, because I want to keep reminding the state of Minnesota and business owners and people that want to help this issue because of an agreement that was really made with the, you know, Prairie Island community, with the nuclear cast storage units, and we were going to do a biomass plan by 50 megawatts of power from turkey litter. Initially, it was maybe a bad idea, but it was what was the deal was done. And it ended up being something that didn't work out. Madam Chair, I'm going to withdraw the amendment. We don't need to take the time, but this will continue to come up. I want to have this conversation, and I'm going to keep pushing it. This was something that we have to fix this year, and I hope our committee will stand behind us at some point. So thank you.
Madam Chair, can I still speak to the amendment?
No.
I think my good friend may have provided, may have limited context, and I would hate for the committee
to be misinformed on this issue. So, may I take a minute just to briefly explain? Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your indulgence. So my friend Representative Baker made a lot of statements. And to the author, you should not be empathizing with Representative Baker and his plight. You should know that in 2017, the legislature did pass an agreement to allow for the closure of these plants. Xcel Energy purchased the plant and shut it down. Over the last 2 years, Xcel ratepayers have saved $90 million in rates. $90 million has been saved as a result of that action. That's the good news. Now, the bad news is the runaway community solar gardens program has increased costs by $134 million. So we've been able to at least gobble up some of the savings or be able to mitigate the increases from that. But it is important to note that the plant that was owned declared bankruptcy. It was owned by an insurance company. They didn't want to sell the power anymore. They sold the plant down. The ratepayers of Xcel gave a very generous amount of money to the community of Benson, tens of millions of dollars, to offset their economic limitations. There never was implied or in contract a promise that people who were supplying the turkey litter, which in some cases came away from as far away as Alabama, is where this stuff came from. There was no promise to get that money, so you should not empathize with Representative Baker on this issue. You should never consider this idea. And, and Madam Chair, you as well, when you're making advice to the leadership tribunal, you should tell them to never consider this as well. Thank you.
And just because my name was mentioned, I'm gonna take a swing back. Many things were accurately said. There was $20 million given to the city of Benson because of their investment in this plant. However, folks in the private community in my area, in my district, not from Alabama, I'm talking about northern Minnesota, I'm talking about the Benson area, I'm talking about folks that used to sell turkey manure and litter for fields and farms that were hauled away. Farmers had to have a different plan. It was a deal that was planned on, a 20-year deal. That's what the whole concept was about. It was, and we have businesses that went out of business. Employees are out of work because of that, and this is something that we just have to make right. I supported the bill to close the plant at the time because it saved millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to Xcel ratepayers, because I've always said that rates are really important here. But when you hurt a community like this, and at the last minute it comes in, the day before the deadlines, in a committee that I sat on, that was not a way to play this out. So we are continuing to fight for people. That's what we do here. We are representing our constituents, and I'll continue to fight that way to whoever wants to argue with this. And I agree with that, because my friend Chair Garofalo and I, we didn't agree on this, but we agreed on saving people money because it was a bad idea. But we had, as the state of Minnesota, had a responsibility to land this plane properly, and we didn't do that. So I'm going to continue to harp on this until I have no voice anymore. Thank you.
Thank you. We have two more amendments. Is anybody going to offer A4?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. Yes, I'd like to move the A4 amendment. And this amendment is pretty straightforward. This is a bill that has been carried by Republicans and by Democrats and a lot of lip service, folks. You know, I know the chair has spoken in support of it on both sides of the aisle. It's a bill that everyone likes, but nobody funds. And I think this is a commitment that I think we need to make to the Prairie Island Indian community. They have an interesting project, and it's asking for $46 million. I would say an argument could be made that there is no community more impacted by the generation of power in the metropolitan area and across the state than this particular community. So while it may be focused in a particular area, the effect has a much broader statewide impact. And I would just ask that the author of the bill, would you consider this as a friendly amendment, and or would you like to make a commitment towards funding a bill like this moving forward? Either the chair can answer that or the author of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I think this goal by Prairie Island to have net zero emissions is amazing. I think it's awesome. I think they came and met with me last year and told me all about the great work that they want to do. And they're being a leader at a time when we need leaders. And I think that's really important. I think However, this should be funded. This is a prime example of something that should be funded out of the RDA. They house the dry, they store the casks. It's the absolute intent of the RDA funds. It would be wonderful if we could work together with the Senate to get an RDA bill passed. I think it is supported by the House, it's supported by the Senate, and so I think it's a really important initiative that really truly allows Prairie Island to be the leader in this area. And so I think it's a great cause. I don't think that, or a great project. I don't think it's right in this for the reasons you stated, that really the intent of this bill is to be programs offered statewide, and this is focusing on one community. And so I think both for both of those reasons, the scope and the funding where it's coming from.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to comment that I think it's a great project. I agree with everything that Representative Akam just said about how it should be funded and the reason why. I just wanted to correct what I'm sure was an accidental misstatement by Representative Straczynski when he said that everyone likes this project but no one funds it. This committee did pass a bill last year, and in fact the full House passed a bill last year that did fund the project. We weren't able to get it done in the Senate, in the final agreement with the Senate last year. But I know that a lot of people in the House are committed to trying to do this through the RDA, and I hope that conversation will continue.
Representative Garofalo, and then Straczynski.
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Stevenson, how much did the House fund this for last year?
Madam Chair, I can't remember the exact dollar amount, but we did have discussions about fully funding the project in the conference negotiations.
Madam Chair, Representative Stevenson, did the House fully fund it?
Representative Graffel, I can't remember the dollar amount that was in the House bill.
Madam Chair, Representative Stevenson, I'll refresh your recollection. The answer is no. The House did not fully fund this program. In 2018, it was fully funded. There was a bipartisan agreement to fund it. Governor Dayton, unfortunately, vetoed that bill. So,
Representative Straczynski.
Just, Madam Chair, just obviously, you know, we don't know what the budget forecast is going to be, which will be working our bill, and the likelihood of, you know, a large spending outside of our FA. Do you have a commitment at all to including this in a potential bill moving forward if there are some RDA funds that are going to be spent?
We will. You will see a RDA proposal come back through here, I think. I asked Representative Osmond to sit down and discuss this. I haven't heard back from him. But I would agree that it is appropriate to fund it in RDA. And we did, as we were negotiating, to answer your question, Representative Garofalo, we did come up with a package that the House supported of fully funding. It was staggered. But I understand that that is totally appropriate, too, that you can't spend all the money in one year. So we staggered it in years. So there is support. I think that, you know, it's a little early in session for, and I certainly don't make predictions. it doesn't work out. But I can tell you history, and the history was we came up with a proposal that fully funded.
Madam Chair, it is a matter of fact, not opinion, that when the House passed their bill off the House floor, and when the leadership tribunal takes actions, that's not a formal vote, right? The House representatives, when it was voted on this, the House's position was not to fully fund this project.
That's correct.
I would hope that as you move forward on an RDA funding proposal this year, that you fully fund this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Straczynski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just, it sounds as though there's differing levels of commitment towards this bill, and just talking to some of the stakeholders, they're concerned of potentially taking a negative vote today on this, and so I'm going to withdraw that motion, but I do have a question for the author, if that's possible.
Go ahead.
Representative Akam, just kind of looking at this bill, what is your estimate from a scientific perspective of what this bill will potentially lower the temperature or change the environment in the state of Minnesota if it's passed?
Those are great questions, and I think you know, you hit the areas that we need to be concerned about, and do I have the absolute scientific data about doing that? No. I think we've heard over and over again from the scientific community that these are the things that we need to do. We need to lower greenhouse gas emissions. We are seeing in our state over and over again emergency responses that are needed to help our farmers and to help our resort owners. And these are all impacts from climate change. And so if we continue to do nothing, it's going to cost our state a lot more money. And so investing in these opportunities for all of Minnesotans to participate in the solution to reduce the impacts of climate change is an important first step.
Thank you. That has been Representative Long.
Just a quick question for Representative Swasinski, if I may, Madam Chair. If we came up with a bill that would meet our state's greenhouse gas reduction goals, Representative Swasinski, and we could demonstrate that through scientific proof, would that be something you would support?
Madam Chair, Representative Long, no, I appreciate the question. You know, I think it's an interesting one. You know, I've kind of been asking that question in general to most of the folks that do come before this committee, and we're told over and over we need to follow the science, right? And yet, time and time again, the science does not point that any action deliverable that is happening within the state of Minnesota will actually impact temperature. In fact, we're told it will continue to go up no matter what we do. And so, you know, I think we always need to gauge what we're doing and the promises and the fear. And, I mean, we've heard folks that are terrified of inaction. And so I think we also need to have some reality with folks that just because something happens doesn't mean there will be an opposite and equal reaction. And I think we need to be careful with our rhetoric in this room and to our students as well. We've heard folks that say they're depressed and they've thought of committing suicide because of the rhetoric that happens out of this room on the commitment of climate change. And so I think it's very important that we use wise words that don't lead young people astray, but also have reality in the fact that you can spend hundreds of millions of dollars that won't actually impact things that you say it will fix.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One follow-up question. So we've set goals as a state for 80% reductions by 2050. Most of the scientists who've come before us have said those are inadequate, but would be a pretty good start. Do you support our state's goals to achieve 80% greenhouse gas reductions by 2050?
Hey, Madam Chair, Representative Law, you know, I think, you know, there are certain commitments made by companies within our state, whether those are in reality or not, I think are up to debate. I think some in this room would say that 100% renewable is the only thing that would have a chance at saving our children. But in reality, I don't believe the technology is there. I mean, we just toured a facility earlier this winter that was going to be on the ground for 25 years and only being used for 6 weeks of those 25 years. And because of government support is the only reason why it was built. And, you know, I think when we think about jobs, it was mentioned that it creates good union jobs here in the state of Minnesota. But we also need to be thinking about the potential of slave labor across the world and the usage of that. Just because you don't do it in your backyard doesn't mean it doesn't exist, whether it be in a cobalt mine, whether it be in any other place across the globe. And just because you don't see it doesn't make it doesn't exist.
Madam Chair, since you didn't answer my question, Representative Swasinski, I'll take that as a no. Is that fair? That you don't support the current state goals for 80% reduction by 2050? It was a yes or no question. Do you support the goals or not?
You know, everyone has goals, Representative Long.
Okay. Let me... give a different perspective than you have given us, and that is that leadership matters. So in 2007, when we passed our renewable energy standard, it was leading in the nation, and others followed. And when you can provide that leadership, and we heard that from the business community, we heard that from 3M, others are now following. And that is what Representative Akam is doing. She is providing the the leadership with all sorts of new ideas of things that Minnesotans actually are expecting us to do. And so I think that's why she's called it the can-do, because Minnesotans expect it, and we know we can do it. With that, we have one more amendment. Is anybody going to offer the A5?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to move the A5 amendment. And to Representative Acom's previous statements with some of these other amendments that were kind of pinpointing just certain areas, this one affects more than just one certain area. I believe this is Representative Christensen's bill from last year that I co-authored. And to this particular project, or dollars to be allocated, this helps every Minnesotan as we get rid of coal. It's not just the people in her community and Representative Christensen's community or mine. This is everybody.
Yeah.
And I would really hope that as these communities that host this coal generation power, that you would take this and bring it along as a friendly amendment, as my dear friend Mr. Baker has, please just consider it. But this is so vital to these communities that are transitioning out of this, not by choice, but this is the direction we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the constituents and Representative Christensen's district would be greatly appreciative, as I know mine would be. So I hope you could at least bring it along, see if it makes it through the mix, going through the process, and thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, I think that we need to work really hard on helping communities transition away from fossil fuels. And so if there are, and I think there is legislation being worked on, as you spoke of, and I think that having a place, it's going to be something that's going to be ongoing. And so the bill 3436 is one-time money. And so I think we need to find a sustainable way to fund this, because it isn't going to just be one and done. There are going to be several cities, several communities that are impacted by this transition. I think it's really important discussion that we absolutely need to have, and I think it needs to be done in a way that is ongoing rather than the one-time funds, which is the nature of this bill.
Representative Christensen?
I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Okay, I just want to say a few words. First of all, Representative Meeklin, thank you for your support for HF 19. It's a bill that we dropped last February. Karen Housley is carrying the bill in the Senate. We both have communities that are going to be greatly affected by the closing of the coal plants. The King plant in my community will be closing in 2028, and they will be losing 40% of their tax revenue as a result. So, and I think really conditions are worse in some of the other communities. So, you know, this bill will help all of the communities, and there will be some ongoing feeding of funds to help those communities out. So I appreciate your co-authoring the bill. I appreciate your respect for the bill. And we are it's a fluid document right now. We are still looking at how to fund it. The initial bill came out of RDA, and we're discussing that, so I'd love to work with you on it also. But it's a good bill. It's good for the communities that are losing their plants, and I hope to work together with you on it. Thanks much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to echo the bill author that we had this discussion in the RDA context. This is an important bill, and thank you, Representative Christensen, for bringing it forward. We're continuing to work on transition. Last year we had a placeholder in the RDA bill for labor, which wasn't sufficient. It was to have a task force to look at the issue of labor transition. This would help with the communities, but we also need to remember the workers, and we're working on a bill with labor right now to help on transition. So just want to assure you, that Representative Meeklin, that this is an issue that we're taking seriously, and I know Representative Christensen as well, and this won't be the last time we're talking about it during the session.
One more comment. I guess I'd just like to say please vote no on the amendment.
Roll call has been requested. And the clerk will take the roll. The chair votes no.
Representative Long?
No.
Representative Swazinski?
Yes.
Representative Akam?
No.
Representative Baker? Representative Bierman? Representative Bowe?
Yes.
Representative Christensen?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Hoyenstein?
No.
Representative Jordan? Representative Mahoney? Representative Mecklen?
Yes.
Representative Nelson?
Yes.
Representative Stevenson?
No.
Votes are 6 aye and 7 no, and the amendment does not pass or is not adopted. Members, I do not see in any other folks asking for discussion. Thank you, Representative Akam. Thank you, ma'am. All who came to testify. The bill is laid over, and the meeting is adjourned.